Well, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. And I will tell you something this morning. I'm really excited about this morning's message. Because this morning, I get to magnify my ministry. Hallelujah. You know, Paul said that. He said, I magnify my ministry. What does that mean? Everybody's got a certain calling, a certain place of emphasis in the body of Christ. And everybody gets excited about their own ministry. Everybody thinks that's the best thing since sliced bread. You know that. And this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about wisdom, but wisdom in the Word. Wisdom in the Word. Now, how many of you know, if you've been coming to this church for any period of time, we're a Word church here. And we don't apologize for it. Amen. Because why? It's the Word of God that empowers you, that makes you mature. The Word does much more for you than most people think. Amen. It's what establishes us and makes us all that God's called us to be. Amen. So here in Proverbs chapter 4, let's look at our golden text here. We've been camping on Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. And I want you to notice something as we read through this. Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 9 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." Say, the words of my mouth. "Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you." Somebody say, I'll have that. "She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." So we've been camping on wisdom now for a couple of months, and we've learned some very important things. Namely, we've learned the benefits of wisdom, and we found out there is a laundry list of good things that come to the person who obtains and acquires wisdom from God. Amen? I'm not going to go back and re-preach that this morning. Go back and get the tape if you need to. Then we defined wisdom, and we found out that there are many different definitions for wisdom, but it can basically be summed up in this, is that wisdom is to be a skilled expert in the arena of life. It is being proficient in knowing how to live rightly. Amen. According to God's standard. And then we began to camp on some of the many different spiritual benefits of wisdom. Because, you know, we would be doing an injustice to talk about wisdom without talking about the spiritual, eternal things, which are much more significant than most people realize in the body of Christ. We found out that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So if you don't have the reverential respect and fear of the Lord, then you hadn't even begun to get wise. Amen. Which is what? When you respect God, you reverence God, you respect and reverence His things. You respect and reverence His people. Amen? See, and the reason why I bring this out is because many people think, well, I love God, but I can't stand that person over there. God, I really respect and honor you, but man, I can't honor and respect that person. Listen, if you don't respect and honor God's people and God's things, you do not respect and honor God. And that's just the gospel truth this morning. Amen. So we need to understand that this is the beginning. This is the first way we're going to get it, is that we respect God and we appreciate and bring into our lives everything that God says is important. Whether you agree with it or not. Whether it seems important to you or not. Whether you get it or not. Amen. I like jokingly say this about the psalmist said that the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. Amen. God, I mean, He just sits up in the heavens. His enemies are conspiring down here and trying to do all this kind of stuff. God just sits up in heaven and laughs about it. Now, how many of you know you don't have to get the joke to laugh? How many of you ever done that? Somebody told you a joke that you actually have some respect for, and you didn't really get it, but you were like, and you laughed a little bit to give them a little courtesy laugh, right? Well, it doesn't matter whether you get the joke or you know the punchline. If God's laughing, we should be laughing too. Amen. 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 Because He sees the outcome. He is the ultimate air traffic controller in the sky. And He sees how you're going to get to your destination. You might not be able to see it, but But if you just choose to believe what he said, you are fearing the Lord. Amen. And you get the benefits of it. Glory to Jesus. So we learned that, and we found out that wisdom, one of its primary characteristics is wisdom always looks ahead. Therefore, wisdom is eternally minded. It lives a life of spiritual investment as opposed to living in spiritual debt. Meaning what? It's not living like this place that we live here today is the only place we're ever going to live. We're going to heaven one day, glory to God. In fact, heaven's coming to earth. The new heavens and the new earth, and we're going to live here and rule and reign with God forever. So if we're operating according to wisdom now, guess what we're doing? We're living our life like Abraham did in Hebrews 11 when it said, by faith, Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as a pilgrim, as a sojourner, as a stranger. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. Even though we live in the world and even though we're coming to rule and reign in this land in promise one day, guess what? We're not living now like we're going to stay here forever in this state. We're living from an eternal perspective. That is the heart of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Then last week we talked about sin and the negative effects that sin has on our lives. We found out that sin is stupid. Say, sin is stupid. It's one of the dumbest things you can do. Why? Because sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll pay you what you definitely won't want to get paid. And people, particularly in the body of Christ, that live in sin, opposed to what God said is right, and not according to His commandments, that is absolutely one of the foolish things you can do. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. In other words, you're going to reap in your life things that you are yielding yourself to. All right? So we don't want to live that way. We want to live a life of spiritual abstinence. Because we found out in the Bible that the analogy that's used oftentimes for sin, particularly here in Proverbs when it talks about the harlot and the seductress that's calling out to that young simpleton that's walking down the road, that is a type of sin. And we need to know that we need to stay off her corner. But what do most Christians do? They're staying as close to the line as they can. I'm going to get as close to this line right here. Let me give you a good tip, good point of wisdom right here. Don't get as close to the line as you can without overstepping it. Stay as far away from the line as you can so that if you fall, you still don't go over the line. That's what the Bible tells us. And we looked at many different examples of that in the Bible. David with Bathsheba, righteous Lot, how he pitched his tent towards Sodom. So what do? We turn our focus away from thinking on tempting thoughts. Because why? You cannot be tempted on what you don't think on. That might be a little too deep for the Sunday morning crowd, but that is truth. You can't be tempted on what you don't think on. If you don't think on it, if you don't even consider it, you're not going to be tempted. Amen? So change the way you think. Think on things which are above. Think on things that are true, noble, good. Do what the Bible tells you to do, and by default, keep yourself clean and holy. So we talked last week about wisdom and holiness. And like I said, today we're going to talk about wisdom in the Word. So let's look here in Proverbs chapter 4. And again, look at verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, and notice the first thing he says here. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. So the first thing he says after he tells you to get wisdom and understanding is, do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Showing us that that is a surefire way not to get wisdom. When you turn away from the words that have come out of his mouth, you're turning away from wisdom. Amen. The Lord gave me a statement this week while I was studying it. And if you're friends with me on Facebook, you probably saw I posted it on there. There is no wise person who is not a word person. There is no wise person who is not a word person. So what should we be doing? We should be esteeming His words. Everything that He has said, making it a priority in our life, knowing that if we keep this book before us and keep our mind full of what He has said, we're going to keep ourselves off the wrong path. And we're going to get ourselves on the path of getting some wisdom. I want you to notice here in Proverbs 4 what these verses that we've been camping on And verses 5 through 9 are sandwiched in between. Back up to verse 1 and look at what verses 1 through 4 say. He begins this chapter by saying, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live.'" Then he goes on to say, get wisdom and get understanding. Then notice what he says in verse 10. "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." So what are we seeing here? These verses that we've been camping on are sandwiched in between what sounds like a father talking to his son, saying, you need to listen to what I'm telling you. You need to receive my instruction. You need to take to heart the things that I have commanded you. Now, obviously, when Solomon wrote this, this is literal in that Solomon was probably writing this to his sons. And he was saying, my son, make sure you get this. But we know, and we're going to get into this verse shortly, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? So when you read the word, don't just read it literally like this was a man writing this to his natural offspring. Read it as it is in truth, as your heavenly father crying out to you, appealing to you, his son and daughter, saying, receive my sayings. Receive my words. Amen. Now there's two different ways that you can do that from God. Of course, you've got this holy book that we're reading out of today. And that's one of the main ways that God communicates to us today. But it's also listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He would be communicating things to you. The Rhema words, not just the Logos words. Okay? So what I want us to do now is back up to chapter 1. Because if you've been reading through the book of Proverbs as we're going through this series, like I'm hoping everybody at High Point Church is doing, as I've encouraged you to do, you'll notice one thing. There are a lot of scriptures in the book of Proverbs that sound exactly like what we just read. Many different scriptures of a father appealing to his children to give attention to his words, to receive his commandments, and things like that. So what do we see? If it is emphasized so much in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom like that, then one of the wisest things one could ever do is receive God's word. And we're going to talk about some different ways in which we can do that. Back up to chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 1. When Solomon begins writing here, he gives you the purpose and intent of why he's writing these 31 chapters. Or in fact, he didn't write all 31 of them. I think he wrote like 29 of them. But it says here in verse 1, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." And then he tells you its intent. "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." Now notice verse 5. "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." Now what is he saying right here? A wise person, this is a characteristic a wise person has, is that they will hear and increase learning. Amen. Now, why am I going to camp on this today? Because there are many people in the body of Christ that think they have arrived at knowing everything they're ever going to know about this book, and it's time to move on to the deeper spiritual things, and they don't hold fast, as the Apostle Paul said, to the head, to Christ, who is the Word. And then they get off into all kinds of various winds and waves of doctrine. This is one of the most foolish things anybody can ever do. You are never going to stop learning in the body of Christ. You will always be learning. And the moment you stop learning is the moment you're getting on the path to being a fool. And getting off track and getting yourself into a world of hurt. We're always learning, amen? We don't ever graduate from this book. And how many of you can attest to this, that the more you get into the Word, the more you realize you didn't know, amen? You come to find out there's a whole lot more in this book. And some of the things I'm going to share with you this morning were fresh revelation for me. Fresh man out of the oven of heaven, hallelujah. And you're always going to be learning in this book. Now, we're not just learning just so we can cram some more head knowledge in here and so we can win an argument with somebody, right? Why are we getting revelation from the Word? Why are we attempting to get wisdom from the Word? It's so that we can learn how to live rightly, right? So we can learn what God says, so we can learn more, so that we can fear the Lord and respect what He's saying and His principles and live accordingly. Amen? Now look ahead here, and I want to show you something that the Lord showed me here recently. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we just described those people that think we need to get away from the Word to get into the deeper spiritual things. What does the Bible say? They're a fool. Well, wait now, they don't despise wisdom and instruction. That's because your definition of despise is not according to the biblical definition. When you look the word despise up in the Bible, or from God's perspective, you come to find out to despise something is not just to hate it and be against it and be opposed to it. To despise something from God's standards is simply to not esteem it, to not appreciate it, to not value it the way that you should. Amen. Do you remember when Esau sold his birthright to his brother? And it said, thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, he wasn't against his birthright. He didn't hate it and was willing to just throw it away. He just simply valued something else, that bowl of soup, more than the birthright he had at the time. And the Bible said he despised it. So despising wisdom and instruction is simply not to appreciate it and not to value it. Now, I'm telling you, I've been around the world, and I've come to find out there is a different level and degree of people who despise and esteem the Word of God. And in fact, you know, people always ask the question, why do they see all the miracles over in India and Africa that we don't see here? And to me, it's very easy to tell you exactly why. And you know why it is? It's because people here, as a general rule, do not esteem what they're receiving. I'm telling you, one time I was sitting in a pastor's meeting, and there was a minister there that somebody had told me he's basically like the Billy Graham of South India. And he was sitting on the stage while I'm preaching. All right? I'm like mid-30s at this time, maybe early 30s, and I'm preaching the Word of God on the kingdom of God. He comes to me afterwards and shows me the long list of notes he had taken. Now, I'll tell you, that would not happen in the United States of America. You understand that? I would not have ministers coming, sitting in one of my meetings that have been there, done that for that long, and really valuing what they're hearing because, why? They think they got it. And what is that? Foolishness, yes, pride, but it's the foolishness of pride. Right? We need to understand we can learn something from anybody, even the wrong teachers. Amen. You can receive no matter what. It's your heart condition that determines how much you receive. And this is the beginning of knowledge. But notice what it says in the next two verses, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now, the Lord spoke to me when I saw this passage here. And He showed me, He said, notice that this is one of the first things that I said in the book of wisdom. I talked about you receiving instruction from your father, really appreciating it and esteeming what you get from your parents. And he said, you know why that is? I said, why? He said, because your parents, now I understand it's not this way with everybody. Some of us were raised in single households, and some of us had parents that just did not raise us correctly and things like that. I'll address you in a moment. But for the way it should be, to where we have a father and a mother that are truly instilling into us wisdom and understanding and instructing us, that is the first opportunity every person should have to get wisdom in life. It should be the first way we get wisdom in our life. But this is what's so interesting about it. What do most kids do? when their parents are trying to pour wisdom into them and instruct them and give them these things. Oh, pops don't know what he's talking about. He don't know what he's talking about. She's that not hip, like, and understand the way things are today. Has anybody in here done that maybe when you were a kid? I know I did. What is that according to the Bible? That's being a fool. A wise person will understand that somebody who's been there, done that, knows what they're talking about. Amen. Particularly your parents. Amen. You know why? Because they were you. So they were tempted to make the same mistakes they probably did. Right? And so you should listen. You know, people will say that things get passed down through genes and all this kind of stuff and all these curses and stuff like that. And oh, well, heart disease is just in my family. No, I don't necessarily agree with that. What I agree with is this. The temptation to eat too much ice cream is what got passed on to you, which leads to the heart disease and so forth. You see what I'm saying? The behaviors and the habits. That's what we need to be learning and acquiring wisdom concerning. Amen? All right, so what's the first thing we should do? We should be listening to those who are over us in this world. First, your parents, all right? But then others that are over you. Others that are over you spiritually, you know, and things like that. There's some of you that are really smart. That before you've made certain decisions, instead of just blaring on and saying, well, bless God, I know what to do. They'll come and ask a few people. And they'll ask them and they'll find out real quick, man, they've been there, done that. They knew exactly what I should not have done there instead of just blaring on like a fool. You say, Pastor, you sure are using that word fool a lot. It's because Proverbs does. It's the exact opposite of a wise person. So now I told you I'm going to address you out there who maybe did not have the privilege and the opportunity to have two parents that instilled wisdom into your life. I got good news for you today. If you did not have that, you do now. You have a heavenly Father who can pour into you all the wisdom you're ever going to need in your life. You are not behind on what everybody else has. You can now get into this book and get this book on the inside of you and let wisdom come in abundance, and God will redeem the time. Amen. So what I want to do this morning is take you to many different scriptures here in the book of Proverbs that describe the importance of listening to your Father, your Heavenly Father. Proverbs chapter 2, let's go back to Proverbs 2, and we're going to go through the first few chapters here and notice some very important things. Now listen with your heart. We already found out that a wise person does what? Esteems what they're hearing. Don't just write it off and say, well, I've heard that before. Listen, I got revelation for you. If you're not getting excited about what you're hearing, you do not have it. Do I need to say that again? If you're not thrilled and excited about what you're receiving, the particular truths, then you have no revelation of it. Because when you have revelation of it, you're going to get excited about it. Amen. And then that doesn't mean you don't need to hear any more, less of it. You need to continue to hear it so that you stay excited about it. Proverbs 2, we're going to read through verse 6. It says, my son, notice this right here. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. Now, you know what if means? It's conditional. Everything he's about to say is completely determined by the fact of, do you receive his words and treasure his commands within you? If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. What does that mean? That when you receive his sayings, you treasure his commands within you, you're going to start to incline your ear to hearing the voice of wisdom. That is one of the major reasons why many people do not hear the voice of wisdom. That the Bible says is crying out. Saying, come this way, don't go that other way. Crying out to you. Her voice is just being spread around. I mean, it's constantly. She's talking to you. So how do you get yourself in position to hear her? You've got to learn to receive his words and treasure his commands in you. and apply your heart to understanding. Look at this. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Now, what does this mean? It's like a baby crying out. What does the Bible say over there in, I think it's 1 Peter 2:2? It says, and desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen. Desire it. And really what the word desire means, it describes a baby crying out for milk. Now, how many of you know if you're sleeping and the baby lifts up its voice and starts crying? I'm speaking to somebody, right, Hope? When the baby starts crying, what do you got to do? You better give that baby some milk. It's going to wake you up. Some of us need to lift our voice up to that degree with God to give me some discernment and give me some understanding. Why? Because when you get loud, when you get very vocal, it indicates you're serious. You know, like the person that says, well, I just don't, bless God, I just don't believe that you should worship demonstratively in church. You should be quiet and reverent and holy. Oh, it's not my personality, brother, to lift my voice and praise God. Oh, really? Your kid goes out there and runs in the middle of the interstate out there? I bet you're going to lift your voice up then. You lift your voice up for the thing that's important to you. Let me get off that. That's not going to make any friends this morning. Look at verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, glory to God, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. See, this is the heart attitude by which you should be listening this morning or studying your Bible today. Seeking silver. Now, the reason I bring this out is because, you know, people will talk about, well, I don't like going to that church because they got those people out there that are real loud and it's distracting to me when people get up and move around in church and all that kind of stuff. Listen, if I was standing up before you today and I said, everybody, I got an announcement to make and be taking notes. I have buried $1 million in this church somewhere and I'm about to give you specific instructions of where it's at. I don't care if somebody's standing in front of you going, yeah, 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 yeah. You are going to get the information I'm passing on to you. Why? Because it's important to you. So if we're easily distracted, I'm talking to somebody now. If we're easily distracted, it's because we're letting ourselves be distracted. Let's go to another one. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm still not making friends, but I'm speaking the truth. Hallelujah. That's what's important, amen. Amen. You know, it's like, you know, they say this, and I'll let you know. I've had people, of course, when I've preached before, they'll come and they just get mad. And they'll come to me afterwards and stuff like that. This is the truth right here. The dog that yelps is the one that got hit. So if I throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. So listen, you know, we were talking about feeding the dog, starving the cat, right? All right, how about this one? Don't be the dog that yelps. Be the cat that when it's rubbing you crosswise, just turn around and then it'll feel good. Repent. Change the way you think. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, that was a little too deep for y'all. Y'all going to have to get the CD for that one. Right, I mean, if your hair's going this direction and it's just rubbing you crosswise constantly, just repent and turn around and then it feels good, amen. You know, people get excited that you know the people that are doing what is being said because they're the ones that will amen you. The people that don't amen are the people that aren't doing it a lot of times, right? I ain't going to get any more friends on that one either. Proverbs 3. I got some good stuff coming up. I know, right? See, hey, you're going to be more like Jackie. Come on, you're going to be more like Jackie. And amen, praise God. That's good, Pastor. Hallelujah. And I welcome that. You know, every old dog likes to get scratched every now and then. Amen. A good, nice amen out there in acknowledgement. That's good, Pastor. Thank you. Appreciate that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Look at this one. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandment. Now it's not going to get any better. You ready for this? There are people out there that say, I just have a hard time remembering the word. Don't raise your hand. Don't indicate to everybody that this is you I'm painting the picture of. But people will say this a lot of times. Say, man, I just have a hard time retaining Scripture. Pastor, how do you remember the word like you do? Let me tell you how I do it. I've never one time tried to memorize Scripture. I just let my heart keep His commands. I respect it and appreciate it and take it to heart. Because if you ever notice something, because what does it say right here? Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. So if you're forgetting His law or His word, it's because your heart has not kept it. Amen. Told you that wasn't going to get any better right there. But it's the truth. Now listen, you know how, this is how I found out I wasn't an idiot when I was going through school. Because I'd go through school and man, I probably had ADD or something like that because I was not retaining the information that I was getting, and it just seemed like it was an uphill battle and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know how I knew I wasn't stupid though? Because I could quote you every Major League Baseball statistic for the last 30 years. Why did I remember that and not remember all the stuff that I learned in school? It's because my heart kept the statistics of Major League Baseball. And it's that way with you. You say, well, I can't remember the word. You remember everything in the world about your grandkids. Right? It's just a sign of what we value. Man, we're going to thin the church out for next week, aren't we? Look at this now. Now, this is what's awesome. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Notice the benefits. For length of days and long life, and peace they will add to you. What is the first commandment with promise? Honor your father and your mother so that you live long on the earth and it may be well with you. That's the first commandment God ever gave with promise. Do you wonder why that is true? What is so important about honoring your father and mother? Well, it's because you're evidently listening and valuing the wisdom that they give to you. Because wisdom is the benefit right here for this long life, right? Well, let's flip this. What if that's true for honoring our natural father and mother, what if we honor our heavenly Father and His words and instructions? You'll live long. Peace will be added to you. So you want to live a long, fulfilled, good life? Appreciate and respect what He said. Amen. Live your life according to that. Amen? In fact, look at this. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Somebody say, I'll have that too. You want favor with man? Do you want favor with man? Yes. Yes, you do. It's not a trick question. You want favor with man. You want favor with your boss. You want favor with your neighbors. You want favor in all manner of life. You also want favor with God. This scripture tells you how to get it. And you know something that the Lord showed me? I told you I got some fresh revelation on this. You know what the Lord showed me? The Master did this. Go over to Luke 2. Let me show you something. I'm telling you, I'm talking about Jesus here. He fulfilled this. He treasured God's commandments. He esteemed His Father's sayings. And how do we know that? Because He only did what He heard His Father say and what He saw Him do. So He appreciated and respected every direction the Father gave Him. But that was not apart from the Torah. Look at this. Luke 2. And look at let's start in verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to be in their company, they went a day's journey and sought him among the relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. Stop right there. What was Jesus doing in the temple? Most people think Jesus was there teaching them. Because after all, he's the Son of God, right? Knows everything, omniscient. He's there teaching all these guys, even as a little kid. That's the picture we have. Notice that's not what he was doing. Look what it says. It says that he was both, what? Listening to them and asking them questions. The Word himself is listening and asking questions of these guys that in just a few, maybe a decade or two, he was going to be rebuking. Whoa, right? Now look at this. In verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? What was his father's business for him right then? It was to listen and ask questions. We all go through a time in our life where we're supposed to be listening and asking questions of those who are our authorities. Notice what it says in the next verse. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, verse 51, and was subject to them. To who? Mary and Joseph. God subjected himself to his parents. Why? It don't matter how much you think you know and how much God has promised you that you're going to be. If you are under someone during that time, the best thing you can ever do is subject yourself to them. Submit. Now, this is something that's hard for most people. Most people, and they think they're submitting. But hey, here's a revelation for you. You are not submitting when you agree with what's being said or done. You can only submit when you don't agree. Wow. Amen. So you can only submit when you don't agree. Not when, oh yeah, I love everything that they're doing and this and that. Everything's great and I agree with that. That's good. Praise God. That's good, Pastor. Amen. I agree with that. But then when he tells you something that you don't want to hear, that's where you got your opportunity. Am I going to submit or not? And it's the truth. Because when you do that, what happens? The Lord, guess what happens? Look at this. He subjected himself to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Look at verse 52. And is a conjunction, tying together what he just did. We just saw he was listening and asking questions in the temple, and we just saw he subjected himself to his parents. And Jesus increased in wisdom. He increased in wisdom. Well, I thought he had all the wisdom he was ever going to have, Pastor. No, evidently not. He increased in wisdom and stature, meaning he grew up too, and in favor with God and men. What did we just read over there in Proverbs chapter 3? That when you take to heart his commandments, when you receive his sayings, length of days he'll add to you, and you will increase in favor with God and man. Jesus fulfilled in his life right here that promise of our Heavenly Father in his life. And wisdom came to boot. Go back over to Proverbs. Amen. I'm telling you, we're in something deep right now. And it is a wonderful thing. Go to Proverbs chapter 4 now. Oh man, I got plenty of time. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 4. Now, many of you are familiar with this scripture. It's a good one though. Proverbs 4 verses 20 through 23. Hallelujah. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The Hebrew word that's used here for health literally describes medicine. Medicine to all their flesh. That would include what? Your arms, your legs, your kidneys, your pancreas, your heart. When you give attention to what he has said, incline your ears to his sayings, keep them in before your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, they have that effect on you. In essence, what he's saying here is this. If his word is medicine, I'm going to tell you, this is what Solomon was saying, I'm going to tell you the prescribed way to take the medicine. And this is how you do it. Number one, give attention to my words. Pay attention. Don't be distracted. Keep it before you and listen. What did Jesus say? Take heed what you hear. You know what else he said? Take heed how you hear it. That's one of the main ways of how it affects your life. How you're hearing. It's not just what you're hearing. It's how you're hearing it. How are you listening to it? Amen? Give attention to my words. Now listen to this one. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline your ear. What does incline mean? It means it'd be something like this. What? Turning your ear around? I've learned that because sometimes I'm in restaurants and we're talking and I can't understand what somebody's saying. So what do? I cut my hand like that and boy, I can get it better. Sometimes we need to learn to do this in the Spirit. Cup our hands to hear wisdom better. Amen. It's like I tell my dog, Bluesy. Bluesy, you want to go for a walk? I mean, you think that dog's going to break her neck trying to listen to what I'm saying. Well, Daddy, what? And it's amazing, this dog has these ears that are like little antennas that if I'm in front of her, her ears are pointed towards me, cupped that way. But if she's walking in front of me, her ears turn back like Batman to where she's able to listen. She's inclining her ears to her master's sayings. Some of us need to learn to incline our ears to his sayings. Put yourself in better position to hear. It might be that you need to turn your cell phone off. It might be that you need to turn the TV off. Whatever you got to do to put yourself in better position to hear. Amen? And then it says, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And it goes on to describe the effects these words of wisdom have in your life. Now go to Proverbs 6. We're just going verse by verse through Proverbs here. Amen. Let me read you a couple real quickly. Proverbs 6, verse 20, and we're going to read through verse 23. It says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are a way of life. Look at verse 24. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. We talked about her last week. Now look at chapter 7, and look at verses 1 through 5. It says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. So what are we seeing here? The effect God's word has on you? Well, here's one of the major benefits. When you receive God's word, his word will keep you from sin. Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So this is one of the major benefits, amen? Now, Proverbs chapter 13, go over there real quick. Let me read you a few verses real quick. There's a lot of verses in here about the importance of God's word in your life. Can you see that? Proverbs 13, verses 13 through 14. Says, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of death. Chapter 16, verse 20. You don't have to turn over to these. Just take notes if you are. We've got them on the screen. Proverbs 16, 20. Says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Well, I'm not happy, Pastor. We'll be a word person. Chapter 22. Chapter 22, verses 17 through 21 say, incline your ear to hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. That means you need to speak it too, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things? How many can attest to the word is full of excellent things, of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you to know the certainty of the words of truth? I've got many other verses, and we're not going to take the time to look at it. I want to take you to a New Testament passage in closing. 2 Timothy. Finally. You know what that means? Nothing. I love it, man. Paul's writing to the Philippian church. Halfway through the book, he says, finally. Isn't that awesome? He's just like all the rest of the preachers. That just means if you're being inspired by God, you might say in conclusion, and you go twice as long as you just went. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to keep you but a few more minutes. But this is too important to pass up. 2 Timothy 3, let's start in verse 13. This is super significant right here. So listen well. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then the next verse says, but you. Now, when you see the word but, it literally, you can change it out and put on the other hand. So he just told you that there's going to be evil men and imposters that are going to grow worse and worse. In fact, in the beginning of this chapter is when Paul had said to Timothy, he said, in the last days, it's going to get worse and worse. Perilous times will come. And he goes on to describe all the worst things that are going to happen. So he's continuing on that same subject here by saying these evil men and imposters are going to get worse as we get closer to the end. And notice what it says. They're going to be deceiving other people, and they're going to be being deceived themselves. So now Paul, as being the excellent teacher that he is going to teach us how not to deceive others and be deceived ourselves. Look at this. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Paul's talking about himself here. He was Timothy's father in the faith. Timothy traveled with him, and Timothy learned many different things from him. So he's saying, the things that you've learned in me and saw in me, these things do, right? Now, some people will read that, and they'll be like, well, man, it would have been awesome to be in Timothy's shoes. I could have gleaned from the great apostle Paul. I got a revelation for you. You still can. You got all his writings. You got a lot of things from his life. If you will esteem the Pauline epistles in your life, you can have the same wisdom imparted to you that Timothy did. Amen. So he had continued in these things. Look at verse 15. And that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now, you know, if you read back at the beginning of this book, Paul actually made reference to Timothy's mom and grandmother who had the same faith that had been imparted to him. So he was a third generation believer. Not necessarily because Jesus was there yet or anything like that, I'm saying, but they knew the truth. They appreciated the things of God and so forth. So he's a third generation. It was passed on. Do you know the privilege that you have as a parent or a grandparent now to impart to those under you what they know? See, I will promise you one thing. Levi will never stray. Levi will never depart from the faith. And you know why? Because he's third generation in this. Amen. And it's the privilege we have to pour into them. So let me speak to you grandparents out here. Get your grandchildren as much as you can, particularly if their parents aren't establishing them in the truth like they should. Get them as much as you can to instill those things into them so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Amen. So you've known the Holy Scriptures from childhood, which are able to make you wise. So how are you going to get wisdom? From the Word. From the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 16 now. All Scripture. Somebody say all Scripture. All Scripture. I got written in my Bible, this includes Ecclesiastes and Leviticus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable. Now why am I emphasizing this? Because so many people out there only appreciate and value certain parts of the Scriptures. Like I'm just talking about the Pauline epistles. There is a group out there that believes that's the only thing you should adhere to, is what Paul wrote. How stupid can you get and still breathe? You got all these Scriptures, all 66 books are profitable for you. not your own favorite books or passages or the things you agree with. You need them all. Amen? What did Jesus say over there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 when he was being tempted to turn that stone into bread? You remember that? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's every scripture. And the Bible likens the scriptures to being like our spiritual food. You know, the scriptures are like the original soul food. Hallelujah. Amen. That's really what feeds your spirit, man. Amen. Well, like it is in the natural, how are you going to be fully nourished? Is if you learn to take the benefits from all the food groups. If all you're doing is eating vitamin C, you're going to be proficient in that, but you might be missing out on some other stuff. Right? We need to learn that all scripture, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, is beneficial to us, not our own pet doctrines. Far too many Christians believe, let me say it this way. Far too many Christians read what they believe and don't believe what they read. I know that's deep. Let me say that again. Too many Christians read what they believe instead of believing what they read. Meaning they're only seeing their own things that their heart's inclined to when they read the scriptures, or they only stay in those passages of scriptures. You're cutting yourself short when you do that, because it's all good for you. Like, we're in the book of Proverbs right now, and I'm assuming most people don't read that much. They like to camp over there in Ephesians or something like that. There's benefits to Proverbs too, right? This is where we get wisdom from, amen. So, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable for four things. Notice this. For doctrine. Don't let that word scare you. The word doctrine just means teaching or instruction. So it's profitable for being taught. What a novel idea is that when one teaches and instructs somebody from a pulpit, that they actually use scriptures. That they actually use the word is what's what it's profitable for. But I'm telling you, you go to many churches out there and you'll hear very little word. They might read you one little token scripture at the beginning, so nobody can accuse them of not ever reading out of the Bible. And then they just preach their own opinions and theories and storytelling the rest of the time. And boy, it gets some people hyped up too. Some people, boy, there's preachers out there, they're good at it too. They will know how to say things a certain way and get the whole congregation hyped up, running around the church, dancing, swinging from the chandeliers, and everything like that. And then they leave, and they ain't no more mature than when they came in. I call it cotton candy sermons. All fluff, no stuff. Nothing that really satisfies the soul, amen. So we need the word, preach the word. Because that's what it does for you, amen. And you get plenty of that at High Point Church. Can I get an amen? Praise God. And then it says it's profitable for doctrine. Look at this one, for reproof. Now I looked this word reproof up, and you know what it means? It describes proof or evidence. The only other time it's used in Scripture is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, when it talks about the evidence of thing not seen. Did you know the Word is the only proof you need? Amen. It's the only evidence you say, well, I just want to see some signs and wonders. I just want to see some miracles. We should be seeing miracles, but you don't need miracles to make you believe. The Word is all you need. Amen? And it's also profitable, look at this one, correction. Correction. And this is what people don't like. They don't get this benefit of the Word of God. The Word of God is there to correct your stinking thinking. And when you read through the book of Proverbs, man, I wish I had. Can I get 5 minutes? 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15. All right, good. We're good. I'll have plenty of time now. Go over to Proverbs again. Hold your place there. We're going to come back to that. If you're reading through the book of Proverbs, you know what you come to find out? There is a lot in the book of wisdom about receiving correction. Tons of scriptures. Evidently, learning to receive correction is one of the most important ways to get wisdom. In fact, because you're not as smart as you're ever going to be. And how are you going to get there? By being corrected from the way you've been thinking. So why would we think it's such a... Well, I can't believe that preacher came to our church and corrected us today. acting like you know everything. You don't know everything. You might need something. Amen? Praise God. So it says over here in Proverbs chapter 13. No, Proverbs 12. Go to Proverbs 12. 12:1. Excuse me, Debbie. 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Man, it don't get no more in your face than that, does it? Who's a stupid person? One who hates correction. But how many people hate correction? I can't believe he corrected me. Don't be stupid. I want to be, say it with me. Say, I love instruction. I love correction. And I'm not stupid. Amen. Chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Man, 15:5, look at this one. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. 19:27. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. And man, I've got about 6 or 7 other scriptures that I could take the time, but I don't think I will. There are many different scriptures that talk about the importance of correction in your life. Go back over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm really closing this time. Hallelujah. You don't want me to shortchange you either, do you? Always ask yourself the question, what are you in a hurry to get to? And what are you in a hurry to get from? We're quick to run from this. I mean, what better thing you going to do today for your soul than what we're doing right now? Amen. So it's for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. Now look at verse 17. Now this is the shouting ground. So his word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know the word complete there? You know what it means? To be mature. So the word is profitable for what purpose? For you to become more mature. So what can we learn from that? You are not going to be mature if you're not a word person. The word is what yields maturity. And I'm telling you, I've traveled in different camps. And I'll come and tell you, the people that, for example, us charismaniacs that love the gifts and everything like that, when there is no teaching of the Word of God, those are some of the most immature groups of believers that you'll ever find. It is. And they bring a reproach to all our other brothers and sisters in Christ that are in these other denominations. Because they got zeal with no knowledge. We need the knowledge of God so that we can be mature. Look at this one. Thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly wise, thoroughly prepared, thoroughly furnished. The word that's used here is the word that was described back then as a boat that was about to take a long voyage on the sea, and it was decked out with all the little trinkets, everything that boat might need to survive any storm that came against it. So I'm going to give you a little teaser for Thursday if you can come to this. You want to get to the other side? Be a word person. It is what will make your boat completely furnished and outfitted to survive any storm that will come against you. It's the Word. So say it with me. Say, I'm a Word person. I'm an unashamed Word person. In Jesus' name. Amen.